Let us pray. Lord, we ask right now that you quiet our minds, that you quiet our hearts, that you free us from any distractions that may compete for our attention, that you clear away any cobwebs that may have built up that will prevent us from hearing your instruction. We ask that you swing open wide the gates to our heart, that your Holy Spirit come in at this time, move us and teach us what it is you would have us to learn. Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of the word now, that these words become more than just words on paper, that they become life for us. Bless this time that we have in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and worshiping the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the land of King Cushan-Rishath. And the Israelites served him for 8 years. But the Israelites cried out to the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer for the Israelites who delivered them, Othniel from the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave the king of Aram into his hand, and his hand prevailed over him. So the land was at rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Yesterday we had the spring cleanup day here at the church, and many people were hard at work dusting and polishing the pews and the furniture here in the sanctuary, changing out light bulbs in the hall, redoing the nursery, trimming the weeds outside, a number of different things, basically breathing life back into the church for this idea of spring cleanup. For a few weeks now, we've been going back through into the Old Testament, sort of trying to breathe life back into these old scriptures that sometimes get neglected. And as we do that, we are finding ways to apply the truths in the Old Testament to our lives today. Now, until this point, the past 3 weeks, we talked about creation and God's response to creation, that he said creation was good, and the Sabbath he deemed it as holy, and he said it was not good for man to be alone. And so he said that this should trigger a response of stewardship for us to take care of our earth, to take care of ourselves, and to take care of each other. Well, today we are moving from that familiar story and that simple message into the book of Judges, which is sometimes very troubling, very disturbing, and sometimes the messages aren't quite clear. And as you can tell by the passage I just read, some of the names are very hard to pronounce, and I will sometimes just gloss over those names and say he or they instead, because I'm not too sure how to say them. But we are getting into the part of the Old Testament that is a little bit more obscure now. And as we do this, we're going to realize that there are challenges to studying and reading the Old Testament. I want to talk briefly about what those challenges are. First of all, a lot of people today say that the Old Testament doesn't really require our attention because it's meant for an ancient people in an ancient time, or that it was meant for Jewish people, or that it was meant for people who lived before Christ. And this is a misunderstanding on our part if we feel that way. There is a reason the Old Testament is included in the canon. There was thought put into placing it into the Bible. It is in our midst. It is in our presence. It is in the Bible that we walk around holding. It is in the Bibles that are there on your pews. And it is irresponsible for us to neglect them or to say that they were written for someone else and they don't pertain to us. They absolutely pertain to us. As followers of Christ, we should also be imitators of Christ. And he was very familiar with the scriptures that make up the Old Testament. So we would do well to become familiar with them as well. Another reason that people avoid Old Testament books like Judges is they'll say that God is too harsh, that he's wrathful and vengeful, and they don't want to think of God as being this heavy hand of justice. They would rather think of God as being loving and merciful. But what you'll see in this book and throughout the Old Testament is that there's a balance, that God is very merciful. He is very gracious. And yes, he does balance that out with justice and judgment. This is embodied in the person of Jesus, who would show grace and forgiveness to the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. But he would also go into the temple and turn over tables, and he would call the Pharisees out on their hypocrisy. He balanced that forgiveness and that judgment. We'll see in the Old Testament that God does the same thing. Another thing that people will say about the Old Testament is that it's irrelevant, that when Jesus came along, it was abolished. Before Jesus, it was all law, and after Jesus, it's all grace. And that's not very true either. Jesus didn't come to abolish the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. As we look through these scriptures, we will see that everything is pointing towards Jesus. Even the scriptures that we're unsure about or don't make much sense, even the graphic, violent, gory ones, they all point to Christ in some way. And that is something that other people say, another reason they give for not looking at the Old Testament too closely, is that it's too violent. It's too dark. There are some very violent passages. Yes, there are some dark passages, and we'll see some of those in Judges. But is it really darker than what's in the New Testament? The thing is, we've read the New Testament so many times, we've almost become jaded to it. We don't think about it as being very violent. But think about King Herod in the New Testament. He had all the babies massacred in an attempt to flush out Jesus. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus was crucified, and the details of his execution and his flogging are very, very detailed in the Gospels. The New Testament is violent too. And I know that some people will look at this as a knock on Scripture, that there's all this violence and all this blood and gore, but really what it does, it doesn't speak to the character of God. It exposes our character. It shows us that we are a violent people. And we can say, we can wish that Scripture was sanitized and whitewashed and all of this, but the truth of the matter is, Scripture is written to a people who are rebellious, who are violent, who are dark. And so Scripture reveals our own shortcomings and our own flaws. Scripture is interactive in that way, and it doesn't do us any good to gloss over the passages that seem disturbing or troubling for us. These are passages that must be confronted because they confront us. When we poke Scripture, it pokes back at us. And it shows us how dark our lives can be without a Savior. Now, there's a lot of people who will not preach from the book of Judges just for this reason. And having said all this, I want to issue a word of warning. There will be some passages that we read that might be violent, might be disturbing. Judges is certainly, if you were to give it a rating, you could say it was PG-13, maybe even R in some places. In fact, there's one passage towards the end of the book that you could say it's probably worse than that. I'll stay away from that passage. But we will confront scriptures where we are exposed to the violence of our own hearts, the darkness of the human condition, and the darkness that existed in the time of the judges as well. Now, as we get into this book, I want to give you just a little bit of context about setting. What is the book of Judges? The children of Israel had been delivered from the Egyptians. God had saved them. He had brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And then they had been in the wilderness for 40 years, wandering, looking for the promised land. And the book right before Judges is Joshua. And just as they are about to enter the promised land, or as they have entered the promised land, God speaks through Joshua to the children of Israel. And this is how the book of Joshua ends. God basically addresses the children of Israel and he says, listen, I have brought you out of slavery. I've brought you out of bondage. You've complained. You've worshipped false gods. And I have forgiven you. I gave you the commandments. You rebelled against them. You've wandered. And then I delivered you into the promised land. Now you live in cities that you didn't build. You eat in the orchards. You eat the olives and the grapes that you didn't plant. And he tells them all of this to say that they are there because of his mercy and because of his grace. They didn't do anything to deserve being in the promised land. They didn't do anything to deserve their freedom and their deliverance. But as the book of Joshua winds down, he tells them, look, you have what you have because I have given it to you freely, gracefully, graciously, mercifully. And yet you still rebel. So we come to the book of Judges here, and you'll notice that a theme throughout the book of Judges is the people did what was right in their own eyes, or they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That's how this scripture starts. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You'll see this passage throughout the book of Judges, because every time God delivers them and saves them, they turn around and they rebel afterwards. In today's world, we have people doing what is right in their own eyes. And we want to say this is a cultural phenomenon and that that's what's wrong with America and all that. But we can look at these Old Testament passages and see that this has been going on since the beginning of time. People do what is right in their own eyes, and that's why they need a deliverer. Someone who will save them and rescue them, not because they're good, but despite their flaws and despite their rebellion. And that was God's plan. That has always been God's plan. To bring justice, but to balance it with grace. To offer deliverance in the midst of our violence and our chaos and our selfishness. To judge us and then to free us if we want to be freed. Now today we have in our society people who demand justice. We see this happening in Baltimore right now. People who demand immediate justice for things that they don't agree with. But at the same time, we see people, and a lot of times the same people, will be demanding unlimited grace. Don't judge me. I can do what I want. The problem is we're all a little bit like this. If we're honest with ourselves, we all want God to show us unlimited grace and mercy, and we all want him to come down with the heavy gavel of justice against those who we disagree with. We all want Jesus to treat us the way he treated the tax collectors who he forgave and had dinner with. And we want him to treat others like the Pharisees that he called out and screamed at. A lot of times we're unwilling to offer that same balance of justice and grace the way that God does. But that is God's master plan, to balance it out, to judge us and then to forgive us should we repent. And that's what we see here with Othniel, who was the first judge. He was considered the best judge out of all of them. And as we'll see, we'll go through, all of these judges are flawed in some way. But Othniel, the very first one, was the best one. None of them could live up to him. And not much is said about him. It's just a short little passage here that God chose him and that he delivered the people through him. Now, to give you a little bit of background, Othniel was the nephew of Caleb. And if you remember Caleb, he was one of the spies of Moses that was faithful, and he was a revered person in the community. And so Othniel was a relative of Caleb's. And then Othniel also fought for the hand of his bride in marriage. She was offered as a reward for anyone who would go in and conquer the civilization of Debir. And Othniel rose to the occasion and he fought and he conquered the town because he wanted this bride. Now, if you look at Othniel, you will see that there are many things, again, pointing to Jesus, foreshadowing the coming of Christ. Jesus also had a relative that went before him, John the Baptist, that people knew. Jesus was also from the tribe of Judah. Jesus also fights for his bride, the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Christ fights on our behalf, just as Othniel fought for his bride. Othniel wasn't much of anybody to anybody other than Caleb's relative. That was about it. But God said, through him, I can deliver. And that's the way in which Othniel was really like Jesus. He was the chosen, appointed deliverer of a people who were in rebellion, people who were violent, people who had turned their backs on God. And God said, I can still use this person to deliver my people from bondage. You see, all of the Old Testament points to Jesus. When Jesus told Eve, your son will crush Satan, he was talking about Jesus. When God told Abraham, your descendant will rule the nations, he was talking about Jesus. When he told David that your line, your lineage will be established forever, and on your throne, the King of all kings will reign, he was talking about Jesus. And even here, in the very beginning of the book of Judges, Jesus is foreshadowed. Despite our darkness, our rebellion, our demand for justice, our demand for grace that is often selfish, despite all of that, there is a judge behind the judge who has a master plan in mind. Othniel was just the first in a line of judges, and he was considered the best. But his story, like the story of all the other judges, just proves that it was ultimately God in control and not him. God is able to carry out his master plan in our lives, even when we're rebellious, even when we're violent, even in our darkest hours. He's capable of raising up a hero for us in the midst of our rebellion. God acts through these judgments, and his acts point to his role as the judge behind the judges, and they reveal his mercy, his wrath, and ultimately they lead us to Jesus Christ, the perfect balance of both judgment and grace. Now, this morning we have the opportunity to come to the table together, to share in communion with the Holy Spirit, to share in communion with each other, to bask in the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who looks at our heart. He knows our flaws. He knows our weaknesses. He sees our rebellion. But he also offers us deliverance. In the Methodist Church, we have what we call an open communion. This is not my table. This is not the church's table. It's God's table. And all are welcome. Turn with me, please, to page 12 in your hymnals. And read along responsively with me. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.